High Desert in the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the world's prolific time zones, every single one of them covered by this radio program, Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell, honored, and it is indeed my pleasure to be carrying you through the weekend. And what a night it's going to be. Coming up in the next hour, Peter Cochran and some uncommon sense. We'll talk more about that. On my webcam tonight is a shot of me at 13 years old. 13 years of age. And I just started thinking about this a little bit tonight. I am going to repeat something about my hobby all my life since, well, since then. I mean, go look at that photograph. I was 13 then. I will be 60 years of age in June. So I just computed that I have been a continuously licensed ham radio operator since I was 13, or almost 47 years. I remember how I used to look up to old-timers when I was, when I was liking that picture there. And now I is one. So I've been around for a while. At any rate, to repeat what I did last night, and I know this is somewhat of a narrow cast. It's for a lot of you ham radio operators out there. And by the way, for a lot of you who would like to become ham radio operators, there is the American Radio Relay League, and you can contact them, and they will help you find a local club or something like that. It's the very same organization I'm about to chat about a little bit here in a way. There's been this giant advance in ham radio. And by the way, through the years, all the years, ham radio has led the way. Ham radio, you might want to know, ham operators were the first broadcasters down on the broadcast band. Did you know that? The very same AM broadcast band you're probably listening to right now. The hams were there first because the government thought it was worthless territory, you know, worthless bandwidth. But it wasn't, and we proved it, and when we proved it, they took it away. And now you have the AM radio band, and we have been cast into the shorter waves that they thought, again, were no good. But the hams, again, proved they were good, and that you could, in fact, talk around the world on the short waves. And then, of course, came the influx of shortwave broadcasters and everything else. So hams have always been first, and they're first again. There's something new under the sun. It's that simple. Big advance. It's a gigantic advance in single sideband communications. We used to have AM, like you're listening to on the AM band, and they decided, well, that was too wide. Still some do it, but they decided that was too wide, and single sideband would be the way to go. And frankly, single sideband has always sort of sounded like Donald Duck. You've probably seen movies, you know. And they a lot of times will show ham operators in movies, and it sounds a little like Donald Duck, right? Single sideband. Well, guess what? It doesn't have to. It can actually sound good without taking up anywhere near the bandwidth of the old AM signals. Hams have found that it can sound really good. It's called ESSB. That's what it's called, ESSB. Better sideband, if you will. And indeed, to just the average ear, and I'll ask you all, you're about to get a demonstration, and you tell me which is easier to listen to, which would be less fatiguing to listen to if you had to listen to it for a long time. Both of these demonstrations, just for clarity, are me, my voice, recorded by the same station who's located about 900 miles away from me in Salem, Oregon. Ben recorded this. The first is standard, old-fashioned, single sideband at 2.4 kilohertz. And frankly, it sounds a little tinny, a little Donald Duckish, right? But then the second one you're going to hear is this new ESSB, which, oh, granted, takes up a tiny bit more bandwidth, not much, a little, but it sounds so much better. In fact, so much better it may induce some people to want to get into ham radio. Listen to the difference. Here's, again, this is recorded 900 miles away. My voice. Here it is, the way it usually is broadcast.
All right. This is W6OBB in Pahrump, Nevada, with a brief recording at standard bandwidth of 2.4. Hello, test 1234. Once again, this is a recording at a standard bandwidth generally used at 2.4.
I think you,
hello, test
you get the idea, right? Tinny.
W6OBB.
All right. Here now is the way it can sound.
Good evening. This is W6 Oscar Bravo Bravo, located in Pahrump, Nevada, where it is a beautiful evening at about 65 degrees right now on a Saturday night. Absolutely wonderful. And I'm giving you a demonstration of what audio at 3.6 sounds like. So there you have it. From Pahrump, Nevada, I'm Art Bell, W6OBB.
There you have it. All right. So that's how it can sound that way or better. That was 900 miles away. So it's quite remarkable. It's exciting. And it has the whole ham community kind of jumping up and down, to be honest with you. In fact, it's such a big advance that already, as usual, hams developed it, but now the FCC just authorized the shortwave broadcasters, you know, like Radio Brazil or whatever, Radio Moscow, whatever. They're going to start using it now because it works so well. Plus, you know, the FCC in a recent ruling said that it would not regulate ham radio by bandwidth, so we hope it doesn't. I mean, what we want to happen here is nothing. Here's the bottom line. Ham radio is and has always been and must always be, in my opinion, an experimental radio service. Hello out there! Experimental. And so this American Radio Relay League proposal to regulate by bandwidth is going to handcuff amateur radio operators. Come on, folks, we're experimental here. If you regulate us like you do broadcast stations or two-way services, then we can't experiment. It cuts off part of our ability to experiment. We don't want that. So well-intentioned as it may be, the American Radio Relay League, this proposal to the FCC to handcuff the hams by cutting off their bandwidth is crazy. Absolutely crazy. And I hope they think better of it and just don't even submit the proposal. That would be best of all. But if they do, I don't think the FCC is going to pass. They've already said they wouldn't do it. Anyway, anybody interested in knowing more about this? Here's one more thing, just before I leave it. In this proposal, it sort of forgets we're experimental. I mean, what if 2 or 3 years from now we come up with this really cool new voice digital mode, but it takes 4 kilohertz? Then we would have shot ourselves in the foot. So all we're asking for is no new law, no new regulation. Leave things as they are. Ham operators have always gone along just fine in the bands, and they're gentlemen. They'll find a way to do it here. And additionally, we're not talking about much more bandwidth, but just a little more bandwidth, right? Just a little more makes so much difference. And what you heard was recorded on a standard ICOM receiver, 3.6. And the difference between this... And between this.
Good evening. This is W6 Oscar.
There you go. So that's the difference. And it's striking. And hopefully you can hear it on your AM or FM radios. One last thing for anybody wanting to know more about ESSB, the better way to do sideband, I would like you to go to a website. It's NU9N. That's Nancy, United 9, Nancy.com. Very easy. You can do it right now. NU9N. Nancy, United 9, Nancy. NU9N, and when you get there, you'll see NU9AM and ESSB Hi-Fi Audio. And just click on MPEG-3, MP3, and it's a pull-down menu, and you can hear different examples of how much better sideband really can sound. So again, like so many things these days, all we're asking is that nothing happen. No new draconian rules or regulations or any of that be imposed. And so I hope the average person was able to bear with me through this. And I hope the hams out there who heard it get excited and give it a try. And again, if you want to and you want to learn more about what it takes, NU9N, Nancy, United9, Nancy.com is the place to go. We'll be right back. And we'll explore the, well, not wonderful world news. Again, and one last time, amateur radio operators, hams are experimenters. Don't change that. A lot of technical advances have come our way because of experimenters and people who would change that. I don't know. All right. Let's see. A car bomb. Almost always when you start the news, you start this way. A car bomb obliterated a tent packed with mourners at the funeral of a Kurdish officer in northern Iraq on Sunday, killing 25, wounding more than 50 in the single deadliest attack since the insurgents started bearing down on Iraq's newly formed government last week. It's been several really bloody days in a row in Iraq, and one wonders when and if this will ever end. On what was supposed to be her wedding day, Jennifer Wilbanks wore not a white veil, but an orange towel over her head to prevent the media from taking her picture. Instead of being led down the aisle by her dad, she's led by police to an airplane that flew the runway bride home. Now, officials say the 32-year-old woman's cold feet may have gotten her in hot water on Sunday. Gwinnett County District Attorney Danny Porter vowed to look into whether she had violated the law by reporting a crime that didn't exist. I guess she said she was, kidnapped and couldn't get married as a result. Cold feet. Bad move. South Korea on Monday played down the significance of a North Korean missile test the day before, saying it involved a short-range missile without nuclear capabilities, and warning against linking that issue to a dispute over the North's atomic ambitions. North Korea apparently test-fired a missile into the Sea of Japan on Sunday, raising new fears about Pyongyang's nuclear intentions just days after a U.S. intelligence officer said the secret of Stalinist state could arm a missile with a nuclear warhead. So they're still at it. Every now and then they fire one off into the Sea of Japan. Massachusetts' highest court hears a bid Monday to halt same-sex couples from marrying until voters can weigh in on the issue in the contentious matter of gays getting married. A lawsuit filed by C.J. Doyle, executive director of the Catholic Action League of Massachusetts, claims the marriages interfere with voters' ability to participate in the debate on a proposed constitutional ban of same-sex marriages. Around 5,000 same-sex couples have married in that state since the Supreme Court issued its landmark 4-3 ruling. That was back in November of 2003, allowing gay marriages. The ruling took effect May of 2004. Now, last night, I made a very brief comment about Social Security, and I said it was my understanding that the president said that we would begin to means test for Social Security. And I said, well, you know, that makes it sound like a welfare program. Oh, that brought plenty of response. In fact, like this, one of them anyway. Mr. Bell, you sounded like a totally ignorant jackass with your reference to President Bush's Social Security program. It has nothing to do with welfare. You might want to understand what you are talking about before you start your mouth flapping. My 12-year-old son understands a plan better than you do. Robert in Tulsa. Robert, you should have your son call and he can explain it to all of us then. You see, perhaps what I said was an exaggeration, but maybe not. When they began Social Security, it was kind of as an insurance policy for your older years. They used the word insurance. That makes one think of insurance. And to be sure, you pay into it all your life, right? All your working life, you pay all of that money into Social Security. So it's your money, right? And now they're thinking that when people get to retirement age, they should be means tested. And if they don't need the money, they don't get it. If they don't need it, then they give it to someone who needs it. Well, that turns it, if you take from those who have and give to those who do not, then what is that? Well, it's a welfare program. By even a fairly strict definition, that fits, right? I think that's a poor idea. Actually, you see, there'd be plenty of money for everybody in their retirement years if the government hadn't been stealing from the fund all the time and putting it into the general fund was sort of an IOU that nobody ever intended to pay back. Come on. That's why they're having trouble with Social Security, because they stole money from it. And then you get these cockamamie ideas about putting money into the stock market, people's retirement money into the stock market. That's a great idea. If you're an elected official, it's a great idea, because if it fails, then you can say, oh, GC, you made a poor investment. And you're off the hook. Otherwise, when the whole system collapses, will anybody think about all the money stolen from it by our government? No. They'll think, oh, you made a poor investment. Your fault. Sorry. So anyway, maybe I don't understand Social Security properly, and perhaps this 12-year-old needs to get on here and explain it to us all. Hey, Art, how about you put out a request for an alternative energy or a X Prize when somebody comes up with some sort of free energy device? Well, let me say this. It's an interesting idea, but you don't need to have an X Prize for somebody who comes up with a free energy device. If they come up with a free energy device, then they're going to be an instant billionaire. And so they will indeed get their reward. Some scientists say humans can read minds. I thought this was most interesting. Empathy allows us to feel the emotions of other people, to identify and understand their feelings and motives, and see things from their perspective. How we generate empathy remains a subject of intense debate in cognitive science. Some scientists now believe they may finally have discovered its root. We're all essentially mind readers, they say. The idea has been slow to gain acceptance, but evidence is mounting. In 1996, three neuroscientists were probing the brain of a monkey when they stumbled across a curious cluster of cells in the premotor cortex. That would be an area of the brain responsible for planning movements. Now listen carefully. The cluster of cells fired not only when the monkey performed an action, but likewise when the monkey saw the same action performed by someone else. The cells responded the same way whether the monkey reached out to grasp a peanut or merely watched in envy as another monkey or human might have done so. Because the cells reflected the actions that the monkey observed in others, the neuroscientists named them mere neurons. Mere neurons. Later experiments confirmed the existence of mere neurons in humans and revealed another surprise. In addition to mirroring actions, the cells reflected sensations and emotions as well. Wow. A mere neuron suggests that we pretend to be in another person's mental shoes, according to a neuroscientist at the University of California, Los Angeles School of Medicine. In fact, with mere neurons, we do not have to pretend. We practically are in another person's mind. So in other words, we're on to the beginning of what might be mind reading. And it may well be that, I mean, here's another example. Science beginning to close in on what the rest of us have always, you know, considered to be something freaky, parapsychological, off in the world of strange. And now all of a sudden, science is beginning to go, aha, there may be something to it. Remember yesterday I read a report indicating oil could well go to $380 a barrel by the year 2015. Several people computed, almost all of them coming up with roughly the same figure of $14. It would be $14 or so at the pump. That's rough, but several people came up with that. Oh, here's a good one. A state Senate committee approved a proposal Tuesday that would put serial numbers on every handgun bullet made or sold in the state of California. The measure cleared the Senate Public Safety Committee on a 4-2 vote over opposition from manufacturers, firearms dealers, and sports shooters. The technology exists to, listen to this, laser cut the bullets with a number that police could then use to trace who purchased bullets used in a specific crime. Purchasers would pay up to half a cent per bullet, half a penny for each one of your bullets, to fully record the number. Vendors would pay about $50 a year, and of course, Attorney General Bill Locklear says, we're going to solve a lot of crimes if this becomes law. So there you have it, bullets with numbers on them. Traceable numbers. I don't know. I've heard of worse ideas, really. If it hits a target, so what? If it hits a person, you've got a way to trace it. I'm Art Bell.
You get a shiver in the dark, it's raining in the park, but meantime. Sound of the river, you stop and you hold everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double fall time. You feel alright when you hear the music ring. Inside, but you don't see too many faces. Coming in out of the rain, they hear the jazz go down. Competition in all the...
That'll bring you to your knees, but we'll certainly try to have something interesting as the evening progresses. Now, the numbers are a little different on the weekend as we get ready to head into open lines, so please listen very carefully.
To talk with Art Bell, call the wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is indeed top of the morning, everybody. Listen, I've got a lot of requests to do it, so here it is one more time. That website on ESSB is NU9N.com. Very simple, NU9N.com. Nancy United 9, Nancy.com. Go on over there and go to the MPEG 3 pull-down menu and listen to some of that stuff. It's pretty cool, all right. We'll be right back. No matter. All right, let's rock with open line, shall we? First time caller line seems like a good place to start. You're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hi. It's Gary from Pomona, California.
Morning, Gary.
Love your show. Thanks for all the intellectual stimulation.
Well, thank you.
My question has to do with something you talked about. You were very, interested in as a ham operator, but hasn't come up lately. It has to do with the broadband over power lines, which
BPL.
Yes, which my understanding is was approved by the FCC.
That's right. It was approved by the FCC. Now, it would threaten all of the shortwave bands. You know, if the power lines were radiating broadband internet everywhere, it would threaten all of the shortwave bands. No question about it. Now, here's what's happened since it passed, essentially. A lot of companies have done startups. You know, they've tried it. And they've had so many interference complaints, and it's been such a... We think that broadband over power line is going to fail for a number of reasons. It's not... We don't think it's economically feasible, number one, because there's so many things in place. Now, I mean, God, you can get cable, you can get satellite, you can get microwave, you can get all kinds of services, and so I don't know that you need it over the power lines, and two, it creates havoc. So a lot of companies, I think, have chosen not to proceed until the atmosphere clears a little bit. Let me put it that way.
Okay, well, I think you've answered my question. I wondered how that would affect how the average, if that became reality, how that would affect how the average person interacts with the internet and so forth.
Well, that's a very, it's really a good question. There are even intrusive issues to talk about with it. Thank you very much, BPL. That would mean that there would be internet on all your in all your electrical outlets, and they would make machines that would be smart and would report, you know, when you needed more milk or something, and you'd get an email. Your refrigerator says, please get some more milk, you know, that sort of thing. It would also be incredibly, possibly intrusive in that all kinds of things could be reported from inside your house that you might not want reported. Put it that way. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, is it Art Bell?
Yes.
Hey, I finally got through.
Yes.
Real quick question. It's kind of off the beaten path tonight of what you're talking about, a supernatural question there. The Amityville house out there in Amityville, Long Island, what do you know about that?
Well, I know it's still standing, sir.
It's still standing?
Yes, and the rest of what I know about it will be broadcast May 7th. We're going to have the George Lutz show on May 7th. Now,
May 7th.
That's really important. That's going to be what? I think the 7th is a Saturday night, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'd heard
night.
I'd heard someone say that there was the man that owns the house now is conducting tours through it, and I guess pretty wild stuff happens, you know, while you're in there. So.
Huh.
I don't know if there's any truth to that, but maybe we'll find out the... They're on the 7th, huh?
Well, I don't know about that. I think there was some reference to the current owners, but the show, the real Amityville Horror, you know, the movie is out again. It's a big deal. I had the good fortune to interview George Lutz, the guy right in the middle of the real McCoy, the real Amityville Horror. And so we are going to re-air that show next Saturday. That's something you want to make note of. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Yes, hello.
Oh, hi, how you doing? This is Joe from Michigan. A few years ago, you had two pictures on your website. One picture was of their crop formations, and I think it was either in England or here in America. And NASA had sent out a signal into space in the mid-70s, and if decoded, it would resemble a picture of a man, our DNA structure, and then dots along the bottom representing how we viewed our solar system.
That's right, yes, right.
And, well, when it ended up coming, the crop formation showed up, I'm almost certain I read that the DNA structure, that it was changed just a little bit, and also the solar system was, and I was wondering, you know, maybe that had, you know, anything to do with, like, the DNA God code thing, because that was a very fascinating show.
It surely was. Thank you very much. I don't know is the answer to that question. He refers, of course, to the crop circles that manifested and appeared to be an answer to the Voyager business, if not the transmitted signal from Arecibo. Really, really fascinating stuff, no question about it. Well, west of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
First thing, that 12-year-old, before he explains it to us, maybe you should explain it to the president. after that girl you had on about the, you know, the girl that was talking about her near-death experience.
Which one?
Named Sarah.
Sarah, of course.
The problem I had with her, I heard your first interview with her.
Uh-huh.
And the problem I had was, she said that after the accident, she was in the hospital with the trach tube in, and she had to write.
Her responses
down
yes.
to the nurses.
Right.
And then after she got out, she had to learn how to read again, like starting with Dick, Jane, and whatever the dog's name was.
Right.
How could she write notes to the nurses if she had to learn to read and write again?
Afterwards. I don't know. It may be a lot of times.
Interview.
A lot of times, sir, people have, when they're in the hospital for something as serious as she was in for, you know, and nearly dying, while you're in the hospital, all kinds of things can happen. You can have a stroke or a series of mini...
That's not how it came across. It came
or
across
a series of mini strokes.
Came from the wreck.
Well, we didn't ask about that part, so that's the answer to your question. But that's very common in a situation like that. That if you're in for something very serious, you can experience a series of strokes, mini strokes or a big stroke, and have trouble for some time. Now, Sarah, I thought, was without question the most interesting near-death story. Or actually, I guess it ought to be called a death story, because clinically she was deader than a doornail that I've ever heard, bar none. It just, you know, it just riveted me to the seat, and I hope one day you'll get a chance to hear it. You're on the air, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Good morning. Where are you calling from, please? Hello? Going once, going twice, gone. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi. Am I not pushing something? Here we go. All right, now you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, my gosh, Art Bell, it's so good to talk to you. I've been a listener for the last 11 years, and I'm finally getting to talk to the man.
Well, here you are.
So I just wanted to... I caught a little of the show last night, and it's kind of funny because I started to get interested in ham radio, and I set foot into a ham radio store yesterday. And
oh, you did?
The gentlemen in there were a little startled to see a woman.
Ah, it's true.
Interested in this, and I'm wondering what the deal is with that.
Well, you're absolutely right. First of all, women are fairly rare. However, I operate on 3840 on the 75-meter band, and we have quite a number of regular women check in. So the answer is more and more women are getting into ham radio. Don't let them intimidate you.
Actually, they were quite actually glad to see me. They were, even the customers were helping me find books and everything. So
there you go.
It was fun, but it's good to talk to you. One last question. Are you able to reveal the name of that PC game that your voiceover is on?
Pray.
Pray. Okay, I'll have to check it out.
Okay.
Nice
All right.
talking with you.
Good talking to you, and good luck. Go get that license. And that goes for the rest of you, too. You know, everybody says, well, you know, there's the Internet now. Oh, no, baby. It's not the same as the magic. Radio, to me, ever since that picture of me that you see there at 13 years of age, has always been magic. You know, the magic of signals going through the air. Signals going through wires, that's easy. But signals going through the air to the ionosphere and back to Earth again and again, all the way around the world. The magic of that just simply doesn't stand up to the Internet at all. So if you want to explore the world of ham radio, by all means, please do so. Contact the American Radio Relay League or ham groups in your area or whatever, but get involved in it. It's one of the most fun hobbies you'll ever do in your whole life, and it's been with me my whole life. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Yeah, this is Dan.
Yes, man. Yes, man.
Phone kept cutting out on us.
It's doing something weird now, as a matter of fact.
Okay, well, I'm in my office here now, so I got a strong signal.
Okay, so what's up?
Well, I'm the one that fast blasted you probably about 3 months ago or so. I was telling you about the... I was just waking up that morning, the morning of November 30th,
and
a deep, strong voice spoke, and I woke up, and it said you had 910 days left.
Ah, so how many does that give you now?
Well, I don't know. I haven't been counting down. I know I got a little over a year, but I knew that, you know, I instantly knew that it meant to live, and it worries me, and I guess pretty much what I'd like to know is... You know, even if your callers could call in through the week, I listen, you know, during the first hour. And if anybody knows anything about that, I'd appreciate it if they could comment.
Well, how could they know about your dream?
Well, with the experience I had, or
you mean if they had a similar experience?
Yeah, or if they would know possibly what it is. And if I can mention to you, I'm a Streamlink member, and I downloaded that orb because you read my fast blast.
Okay.
And right before you started speaking, something was captured, and it said, "Here's Art."
Okay. I don't know about that, but because there's nobody to say, "Here's Art." I'm just here, all by my lonesome. Save my beautiful wife in the adjacent room, I'm all by myself. East of the Rockies, you're Here's Art.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
Help this old mind. In television broadcasting, and this word just cropped out of my mind, I don't know if I'm saying it right, they have vesicle sideband transmission. Is this similar to what you're doing?
Well, in a vague way, it is, in the sense that it's a sideband. But not precisely. It would take quite a bit of explanation to bring you up to speed, you know, to bring a non-technical person up to speed. But here, I guess I can try. Originally, we had AM, amplitude modulation. That's what hams use, just like you hear on the AM band now. And then it was discovered that if you eliminated the carrier and one sideband, that you ended up with something that was called single sideband, just one of the sidebands. And it took up less space, and it was more intelligible over a greater distance, and it was a pretty neat way to go. Trouble with it was that it sounded kind of like Donald Duck. Made everybody kind of sound like Donald Duck in the demo I did a little while ago, right? And now we have this new thing called ESSB. It's an experimenter's dream, and for the first time, I mean, it's very exciting. It's incredibly exciting. For the first time, sideband, instead of sounding like Donald Duck, really can sound very good at a very tiny, larger amount of bandwidth, or space, if you will. When I say the word bandwidth, you can think of it as space, just like bandwidth. You know, you've got bandwidth on the internet. The more bandwidth you have, boom, the faster you go, right? Well, it's the same with radio spectrum. You can think of it as space or bandwidth. And so with just a very tiny amount of extra bandwidth, or in some cases no extra at all, you can sound good, really good, on sideband. It's reminiscent, frankly, of the old AM amplitude modulated days. And nobody wants to see it get stifled. And that's what this is kind of all about. The American Radio Relay League has a proposal that is, I believe, misguided and would stifle this experimentation. And again, we're a hobby. We're experimenters. We need to learn new things, and you don't put handcuffs on experimenters. Not historically, and I hope not now. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, Art.
Hi.
Hi, this is Steve in San Diego, listening on the big one, KOGO 600 AM.
It is a monster. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And if you would, please, check into San Diego State University's website. They have the fastest and most efficient hybrid car now in the United States.
Really?
Oh, it does 0 to 60 in 4.3 seconds.
Holy mackerel.
And it can go from San Diego to Washington, D.C. without refueling.
That seems so impossible. And what method of propulsion is it using, pray tell?
It's a hybrid electric with fuel alternating. And rechargeable, but does not need refueling between here and Washington, D.C.
We have so got to get onto this, folks, and quickly, too. As I mentioned a little while ago, we don't need an X Prize. Because whoever invents the more efficient way is going to get their own reward, billions of dollars, no doubt. Somebody discovering essentially free energy is going to be an instant billionaire. So we don't really need an X Prize, but we do need to get going. If our government, in my opinion, is responsible for anything at all, they're responsible for our safety and welfare, right? And our safety and welfare, our whole existence, is based on the state of our economy. And if we run out of energy, the state of our economy is going to be very bad. And it's now past time, meaning peak oil and beyond, when we should be devoting almost a Manhattan-like project toward alternative energy, toward something new. If we don't get it, there's going to be a period of great darkness descending on the country. Not a good economic time at all. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello. My name's Erin. I've listened to your show for years. Me and my friend Bill listen to it all the time.
Where are you?
I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh. All right.
Yes.
How old are you?
I am 22.
22. All right. Well, good to have the young ones. What? So what's up?
Well, actually, we just watched your Peter Jennings show.
Oh, I forgot to mention that. The Peter Jennings ABC show ran on National Geographic, didn't it?
Yes, yes.
Right.
And we watched that. That was quite interesting, I have to say.
Then you know where I live, because they had shots of my house / compound.
Yes, yes.
They called it a compound. Anyway, so what can I do for you, hon?
I'm just very curious in the whole, UFO thing. And we both actually had a question for you.
Okay.
And it's a little off the subject.
Okay.
But we were wondering if you were aware of boxers or briefs.
I'm aware and familiar with both.
Both?
Well, sure.
Okay.
That's it, huh?
That was it. That's what I've been waiting for forever to get through and talk to you about.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would you have expended that much energy to ask such a question?
Oh, well, you know.
nothing better to do, right?
I don't have nothing better to do. Your show's quite interesting. No, I'm serious. We listen to it all the time.
All right. I'm a brief guy myself.
A brief?
Brief.
I pictured you as like...
A boxer?
Boxer brief kind of guy.
All right. Well, back to whatever was occupying you before you decided to call and stir up such intense controversy.
Well, I was still listening to your show. We're listening to it right now.
All right. So have a good night. I got to go.
Okay.
Later. All right. We're going to take a break. Then we're going all the way to Great Britain for some very uncommon sense.
I can see the real time.